1 John chapter 5. You'll find that on page 1228. 1228. Or you can follow the reading on the service sheet that you were given on your way in. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony. But God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Why don't I just pray for us as we come to this part of God's word. Father, we praise you and thank you that we can commemorate today those who've laid down their lives in the cause of our freedoms, those who have suffered greatly because of those who've laid down their lives. And Lord, we pray that this afternoon you would help us to fix our minds and hearts on that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the sufferings that he endured, so that we might know that ultimate freedom of eternal life and victory over all that is evil. We ask this for his glory. Amen. Well, today provides an opportunity to be reminded of reality. Perhaps in our day-to-day lives it's easy to drift into unreality. We look out on the world and sometimes we're reminded on our TV screens from the news how terrible, cruel, tragic and futile our world can be. And so it's perhaps helpful for us to consider the world wars, and particularly World War I and the centenary of its beginning today. Because those who passed through that experience had perhaps a view of life that we find difficult to connect with. Here is a poem written by C.H. Sorley. When you see millions of the mouthless dead across your dreams in pale battalions go, say not soft things as other men have said that you'll remember, for you need not so. Give them not praise, for deaf, how should they know? It is not curses on each gashed head, nor tears, their blind eyes see not your tears flow, nor honour, it is easy to be dead. Say only this, they are dead. Then add thereto, yet many a better one has died before. Then, scanning all the overcrowded mass, should you perceive one face that you loved heretofore, it is a spook. None wears the face you knew. Great death has made all this forevermore. It's a poem that communicates the unbearable futility of war and the atheism it often provokes. A futility that has been repeated many times in world history, has it not? And it still echoes round the world. Yes, World War I saw over 1 million British soldiers dead, 10 million from all sides. Maybe we share this afternoon this feeling of futility. We see it in nature. We think this is the only reality. So perhaps it's helpful and a strange comfort to come across words like those we've just read of someone grappling with the horrors they saw in World War I. Perhaps it's a strange comfort to hear similar words in the pages of the Bible. Here's some words from Jeremiah. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuse on the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper with no one to gather them. That's about 700 BC. Or Ecclesiastes. Man's fate is like that of the animals. As one dies, so dies the other. Everything is meaningless. It's about 1000 BC in the words of Solomon. You see, the God of the Bible is not a God of naive pretense. He's the God of reality. He knows the meaninglessness of life that we often experience. And faith in the God of the Bible is not an irrational looking on the bright side of life, as Monty Python sang in The Life of Brian. No. Faith in the God of the Bible is a victory of life. A victory of life. So, as we come to these words in 1 John, and we've been working through them in the last few months, John, the apostle, who saw Jesus physically dead and then saw Jesus physically, bodily alive again, teaches us two things about Christian faith which are of huge significance. The first is this: Christian faith is the faith that overcomes the world. Have a look with me at verse 4. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. See, he's saying that faith is a victory that overcomes the world. It's a victory of life. Because in the sentence just before, he says this: for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Faith is a new life, a new birth, a birth into a new world, one might say. In verse 1, he said that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. See, this victory over the world that he's speaking of is for those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But because they believe in Jesus and love Jesus, they clearly love God the Father because, well, Jesus is God the Father's Son. They love the Son because they love the Father. But is this something that is a victory that everyone has? And John would say no. Why? Because it's only for those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Have a look at verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's because faith is more than an intellectual thing. It's more than a set of propositions that are private and mysterious. It's a life that we receive. It's the life of God, the life of the Son of God. This is the victory we should really want to understand and celebrate, commemorate every day. See, when the guns fell silent on the 11th of November at 11 a.m. in 1918, war was over, wasn't it? Victory was declared. But was it really a victory? Was it the war to end all wars? Yes, the sacrifice preserved our freedoms. But many would argue that the reparations paved the way for World War II. All those lives lost, another war within 21 years, the number of dead, 100 million. Of course, it is right to commemorate the sacrifices that have preserved freedoms for us, but we need to see the reality of our world, do we not? Was this war, the First World War, not a war between empires? Was it not fueled by human pride? Wouldn't it be great if there were a victory over that human pride that would put an end to all wars, that would put an end to sin, our rebellion against God. You see, John defines this victory over the world in these terms. And if you just flip back with me to chapter 2, verse 15, to see how he defines the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not meaning that we can't enjoy all the good things that God has created. But it's saying that we have hearts which naturally love rebellion against God. He goes on, everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. See, we tend to think that what is evil is out there in the world. But Jesus was very clear in his teaching, and John, his apostle, is also clear that the world out there is more just an expression of the world in here. We have a natural rebellion against God, a rebellion that loves stuff rather than the Saviour of the world, a rebellion that boasts in our status rather than in the sustainer and creator of all things. We tend to blame our cravings, don't we, on what is out there, but John teaches, as Jesus did, that the world out there simply reflects the world in our hearts. Like the Pied Piper, the world plays a tune which finds a happy follower in ourselves. We blame ruthlessness as simply living in a dog-eat-dog world. Jesus would say it's our ambition that creates that ruthlessness. We blame war on other people or on God, but Jesus would say, no, it's our proud nature, our pride, our arrogance, our folly, because after all, war is something which people do. So the world that the Christian has overcome, and only the Christian, as Jesus taught, is the world of rebellion against God inside and out. How? How can we have victory over this rebellion inside as expressed outside? Well, as we've been looking at over the last few months, it's only through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Only him taking the punishment for our natural rebellion, only him dying our death and being raised in victory to eternal life, and then being able to give that life to us as a gift, can we have victory over that rebellion which is in us and outside of us. I know for many of us these are familiar things, for some of us they may be new things. I'd like to commend a book to you from which the poems that I'm reading in this sermon and various examples have come. So do please take one of these as a gift afterwards. It talks about Arthur Ingham, who fought in the Battle of the Somme. He belonged to the Manchester 1st Regiment. And they were just advancing with his colleagues, and he was stunned to find that as a shell exploded and the shrapnel came out of the shell and killed many of his companions, he was still alive. And he then found the reason why he was still alive was because a piece of shrapnel had hit him in a breast pocket in which there was a Bible, and the Bible was thick enough to stop the piece of shrapnel. The Bible saved his life. From that moment on, he began to take it seriously and came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a far deeper way, the Bible and its message, how it teaches us to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is what can save our lives. Not from a hateful piece of German shrapnel, but for the good, right, just opposition of a holy God against our natural rebellion against him. We can be forgiven because of Jesus. We can have evil defeated in our lives because of Jesus. We can be given an eternal life because of Jesus. So can I encourage anyone here this afternoon who's not yet a person who can say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, do take this book, do read it, do receive this as a gift from us, or Luke's Gospel, because this book tells us how to have faith in Jesus Christ and therefore to have the victory that truly matters. What's the victory that truly matters? What is the victory that truly matters? It's the victory of Jesus Christ over death. Do we share that victory? Secondly, and more briefly, for those of us who would say, yes, we do trust in Jesus Christ, the faith that can know it overcomes the world. The faith that can know it overcomes the world. You see, in verses 6 to 9, John continues to explain to Christians how they can know they have eternal life. And it's because of God's testimony, verse 9. God's testimony is greater than the testimony of men because he's given us his testimony about his son. God says Jesus Christ is his son. He's always said that throughout thousands of years of history, and he's still saying it. And he says this in verse 10, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony where? If you're a Christian here this afternoon, where do you have that testimony? Well, in his heart. Can you see what John is saying about the nature of Christian faith? Christian faith is not just some words that we believe in our minds if we're Christians here this afternoon. It's not just having a testimony in our hearts. God's saying to us, Jesus is God's Son, and that residing in our hearts. It is being given the victory of Jesus Christ, who is eternal life, who is life. You see, the Son of God created all things. Everything that exists comes from Jesus, the Son of God, because as John in his Gospel says, he has life in himself. He's indestructible life, and we are given that life. Verse 12 and 13 as I close. If you're a Christian here this afternoon, these are amazingly encouraging, assuring words. What does John say? He who has the Son, or you've believed in the Son, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have this eternal life. And I write these things to you, says John, so you who believe in the name of the Son of God may know that you have eternal life. Partly understanding what faith is that gives us that confidence as Christians. One of the terrible aspects of the suffering of World War I was gas gangrene. Before the advent of antibiotics, the spreading of bacteria through a wound, it would infect the wound from manure and mud and could lead to amputation or even death because the bacteria, the death, if you like, was in the person. Thankfully, now we have antibiotics. And antibiotics are, if you look, like life that are given into the person that counteracts and annuls the effects of the infection. And what John is saying, and it's a poor illustration, is that faith in Jesus Christ is life in us. We have eternal life in God's Son. Because of God's testimony, and his testimony is in us. So if you're a Christian here this afternoon, I hope we can see with greater assurance that we do have victory. We have eternal life because of Jesus Christ, because of our faith in Jesus Christ. I just want to close with some words from this book that we're giving out today, and also on the 4th, there's some words from General the Lord Dannett, Chief of the General Staff, 2006 to 2009, someone presumably who had much experience of war. These are his words. To make sense of war, we can do nothing better than place our hope and faith in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that's my hope and prayer for all of us here, but also my hope and prayer that for those of us who have done that, we know that victory of the faith, which overcomes the cause of all war. Let's pray together. Father, we do want to praise you and thank you for the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over death. We praise you that because of his death, the judgment that we face can be dealt with. We can be forgiven. We praise you that because of his death and resurrection to eternal life, he can give us the gift of eternal life. Father, would you give that gift to each of us this afternoon if we've not yet received it. And if we have received it, may we know that we already have that victory that matters and be so thankful to you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're now going to stand and sing.